Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And our head of production, our co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there. We're going to have some fun coming up in the next couple of hours, and we're going to kick things off the way we like to with our friend Brittany Merlot talking Little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How's it going?
I'm doing good over here.
Yeah.
Clear blue skies. Can't complain. How is it over on your end?
Beautiful. Pleasant. Another gorgeous day. I mean, no complaints over here. Highs today, mid-70s. Isn't that like the perfect California weather we dream about?
Yes, about? Yes, 100%.
Okay. Well, that's today, so no worries. We do have a cold front moving through later tonight, pretty much overnight. So maybe some rain, maybe some rumbles of thunder. We'll be sleeping right through it. No severe, nothing to worry about, so you don't have to be paying attention to those. Otherwise, tomorrow, some clouds to start the day. We'll become sunny by the afternoon, a little bit cooler, highs in the low 70s. We'll hang on to that for Friday, too, but then back to those mid to upper 70s as we roll into Labor Day weekend. A high pressure system holds off all of the rain. It keeps it just to the west of the state. I just think it's great because we have nothing to worry about. Yeah,
all
we're
right.
A little bit cooler.
It
but still, you can get in the water with upper 70s. You can
Yeah.
At least your feet.
Yeah. You can still definitely still enjoy it and certainly get outside
Waiting
and enjoy
weather.
Some of this wonderful Mother Nature. Get on out there. They're really nice to hear. That's great, Brittany. We appreciate it.
Thanks for ordering that up for us, Brittany.
Yeah, it was really nice of you. Yeah.
You're welcome. It got delivered on time. Perfect.
Hey. That's right. Yes.
We'll expect this for the rest of the year now.
That's a tall order. Wow.
We're losing that connection here. Our connection's getting all staticky all of a sudden. Sorry. Thank you, Brittany. We appreciate you. You have a great morning.
You too.
Thanks, Brittany.
Best in the business right there. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot. Nice temperatures to look forward to.
Yeah.
And especially with Labor Day. More on Labor Day in a moment. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We also got other fun things to get into. A new survey has found the perfect salary for the average American. We will discuss.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, it is laughable. It is laughable.
Because I'm guessing it's nothing close to what we make.
Right.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
And we've also got an interesting one about Google and the top trending how to stop buying blank searches.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
How to stop yourself from buying something.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
All right. No idea what that's about. We got entertainment news coming up for you. We're going to not only talk about some of the big stories in the headlines, but local theater. And we'll also talk about our newsletter coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Got all of that. And we have the four top 2025 trends that are already on the decline. We'll get into those.
We're not even...
They trend up, they trend down.
I guess
the way it goes these days, you know.
I mean, we are over halfway through this year, so.
That is fair.
As a programming note, we won't be here on Labor Day.
What?
We will have our best of programming and stuff. So
we get Monday off.
Yes, yes.
We will not be laboring on Labor Day.
No.
Melissa, I will be laboring.
If you needed a reminder, so did I. You're not alone. You're not alone in that. The whole reason I'm bringing it up is to remind myself.
Hey, I got the whole thing set up. You guys just sit back and relax. Chuck already put it in the system. We're good.
Hey.
Yeah, we're good.
You know what? I appreciate you, Seth.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Right?
Red Letter Day. What is this?
I know.
The 27th day of August, 2025. All right. Mark it on your calendars.
We were even in the same room when I said it.
I know.
With witnesses.
Even more impressive.
Wow. Melissa, thank you. You read that, you know, as a writer, you want people to be able to bring life to your words. You read that perfectly. Thank you.
I sounded sincere and everything.
It was really good.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
I get my actor card today.
Yep. You are a SAG member. Believe it or not, Monday is Labor Day. And in general, Americans put in more hours at work than people in most other countries. The average in the U.S. was 1,805 hours last year. That's more than people in Canada, Australia, Japan, or the UK. But less than people in Colombia or Korea. But which states has the hardest workers? Well, an annual study ranked all 50 states based on things like employment rates, hours worked, average commute, and how much free time people have in general. And I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to do this, but to take a look at the results, according to them, the 10 hardest working states are North Dakota, Alaska, South Dakota, Texas, Hawaii, Virginia, New Hampshire, Wyoming, Maryland, and Nebraska.
Wow.
It's an interesting list.
It is.
It's really interesting. I don't see, there's no obvious connection between those, except maybe most of them are less populated states. That's the only other thing I can
think of.
They're
a little more rural.
Yeah, that's right.
And that definitely requires more travel time, more work, like just to make your area where you live livable.
Right.
Yeah, like yard care or garden or whatever else you need to do.
I didn't even think about that, but you're right, because they did say commute time was one of the things. When we lived in North Dakota, I mean, it took us 25 minutes to get to like a grocery store.
Right.
You know, just to be able to, you know, buy stuff. I think my work commute was like 35, 40 minutes long.
Yeah. And so, that's often a case when you live in rural areas that you just have a much longer commute time and you have to drive it. It's not like you can
ride
a bus.
There's nothing else. Yeah, there's no
or a train,
public transportation.
Or a subway.
No.
Or even in some cases, ride with someone else.
Right.
That's not an option.
There was no ride share for me.
Yeah.
For that, no, not at all.
Maybe not so much Alaska and Hawaii, but it does seem like there's an ag connection with these two. A lot of ag industry is very big in all of these states.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I would say in Alaska, fishing, and then in Hawaii, there is so agriculture there too.
I just didn't know as much about those states, but yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of the list, Michigan ranked last, followed by West Virginia, Rhode Island, Nevada, New York, California, Ohio, New Mexico, Illinois, and Oregon.
Again, a weird...
Weird combination.
To the other side of things, the majority of people working in those states are centered into one, the overwhelming majority of like work is done in Detroit, Chicago, whereas the rest of the state, there's
more metropolitan areas,
a lot of work being done, but they're being done in different industries, thus the ag industry in some of those, and the commute time in the city compared to South Dakota or something like that, it's night and day.
Well, especially if they've got public transportation options.
Exactly.
And out of our 50 states, where did Wisconsin rank? Well, right dab stack in the middle.
Oh, wow.
25.
As usual.
25.
Whoa, literally the middle.
Literally the middle.
The pickle in the middle. Wow. How about that?
It's now, the Midwest states didn't do well on this list, which I find laughable. Because I don't believe that you can, you can't move me on this one. There's nobody working harder in this country than the Midwest. It's in part because we're part of the oldest part of this country. So we've had industries here that have been built here for so long and they're dependent on train industries, certain things like that.
Right.
But there's also just the idea of what Melissa was saying before about kind of making your life work. Even you have to work here to make it work.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't have to in other states.
Right.
But unlike other areas, the weather component and some other things really do play into.
Right.
I don't know that I've met plenty of people who aren't necessarily great workers or go-getters that are Midwesterners, but I have not met many people that are necessarily lazy or unwilling to get up off the couch and get to work.
Right.
That's not typically something you find in the Midwest. Maybe it's something that will, you know, be something one day. I don't know. But you don't. The part of the reason why I back our people so much is because of that ethic that they have when it comes to work.
Well, and it's looking at the criteria, I guess it does make a little bit of sense because we've got most Midwestern states are a mix of urban and rural, right? We have larger, you know, we have larger metropolitan areas, but like, you know, we said, but it's more populated than Wyoming, right?
Right.
Or Oregon on the other side, right? So I think that with the criteria that they used, I think that has to be taken into account too, how these states are made up in terms of rural and urban.
This could also play into a little bit later that survey about perfect salaries. We'll see how that goes with that.
Because it depends on where you live, right?
I want people to keep this is almost a two-parter. Those hardest working states, when we get to that, think about those things in there. And as far as the criteria that they used, it seemed a little difficult. What is, to me, a hard worker, somebody that works hard, is somebody who is locked in. Somebody who is trying, is showing effort. It's not even about how the quality of their work as much as it is about that effort and that energy that they're putting into it. I talk about that with acting all the time.
Right.
I've worked with community theater actors that may not have the skill of certain some of the pros I've worked with, but their heart and their energy, I'll take that any day.
Absolutely.
Way over talent.
Absolutely.
Way over that. I think that there's a lot of that in the workforce. There's a lot of those things.
It's to me, it's like, is the job that you were hired to do done? literally, I mean, it shouldn't have to be about time.
Right.
It should be about what job you're supposed to do, and have you done it in a, you know, the time you were allotted to get it done. Mm-hmm. For me, that's the important thing. It's not how many, you know, how many hours you spent putting paperclips together, you know, just because there's nothing to do. You're just sitting there because you have to be there, right?
Yeah.
It's more about getting the job done and then, you know.
And that's an interesting take on the work, just how we look at work and the salary position versus an hourly position.
Right.
Because so many people work an hour job, especially those of us who have... progressed through our lives working multiple jobs to just try to make ends meet and not had necessarily a career because that's how our society is. We need people to work in fast food places. We need people to work in offices and
important jobs
that aren't, you know, like, oh, I went to college for this.
Exactly.
But they're necessary jobs and they make our society work. They turn the wheels of society.
Yeah, we need them.
But those are hourly positions for the most part. Mm-hmm. So you, for me, I have a hard time looking at work going, okay, well, I accomplished everything I needed to, but I've only worked 32 hours this week. Mm. All right. Let's do something else.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, that really doesn't happen. But
I was going to say, you know, there's probably something you could find to do something. But, you know, for me, I know there's always, if I'm like, okay, I got everything done this week. Oh, now I got to do this thing.
Right.
This longer term project or something like that.
Come back to something that, because, it's the difference between salary and hourly. And even when I worked hourly jobs, like when I was working at, James, you could go attest to this, but when you're at a front desk at a hotel overnight, there's not actually a lot to once you have, because you're kind of in a babysitting position, but can't tell you how many times I rearranged drawers and I cleaned the dust out of corners and, you know, just like
there.
It is. And then I would bring out my knitting because what else am I supposed to
do?
Forensic files.
Forensic
files on Headline News. It would be on at like 2 a.m. And they'd play like 8 episodes in a row.
Nice.
And I'd have that on in the background while I was either taking calls or filling out the audit at the end of the night and doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
You find things to keep you busy, but you to keep your mind busy or awake.
Remember when Solitaire came out?
Yes, I do remember.
Free Solitaire on the computer.
It's great. Oh my God!
It's actually, I think, how I learned to play.
Actually,
Solitaire.
Mahjong is what I.
Mahjong, yeah.
Mahjong,
yeah. Yep, that's Mahjong. A fun one. I played that too. if for any other reason, I feel like transportation or teleportation should be a thing for work. Traveling to work, traveling to a job is one of the, it's something we, you know, have to do, and nobody's blinking an eye at that or anything. But it does think, when you think about the whole average commute time and how much time, and most people are not paid for that time.
Right.
It just kind of throws you a little bit where it's like, I should be being paid as soon as I get in the car. Like, you feel like. Obviously, that's not how it works, and I'm not saying it should be that way. But the idea of what the hours we work and the actual hours we put in, I think very few of us that adds up. That's the same thing.
Right. No, absolutely.
There's no way any day I've ever worked in radio, they've paid me for every hour of work.
Oh, no.
And especially since I've been taking over as a PD and those things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's not anything against my businesses or former businesses or anything like that.
No, that speaks to your passion of dedication to the job.
Right.
Which some employers take advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
many employers. Yeah.
Many do. There's at least three that I can admit. I was going to do the sneeze thing and mention them, but I'm not going to do that.
No, don't do it.
And when it comes to here in Wisconsin, I think that one of the things that you can hang your hat on too is, you know, from a young age, people working and building that work ethic, whether it is with their family's business or a farm or even anything outside of the ag industry. We have a lot of vendors and a lot of people.
Logo wear.
Yes.
When I was sewing emblems onto varsity jackets at age 11.
Right on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds not fun.
I mean,
hard on your fingers, too. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I used a sewing machine. It wasn't my fingers.
That's true, but
I milked a goat.
That was for fun.
It was not for fun.
It was for fun.
I made $25 off of that.
Whoa. How many goats did you milk?
It was one goat, and I cut its nails, but I also swept up her hair salon. So I think
it was more than just the goat.
Yeah, yeah. But it was also, this was early 90s or mid-90s or something like that. But either way, it was
$25 ain't bad.
$25 was a big deal.
What was the goat doing in the hair salon?
She had in the back. I think that she closed her shop, but it was right on the way to Washington School. And she had this little shop. And then in the back had all like just a couple of goats and some chickens.
A little menagerie.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you would have never guessed it was back there either. Mm-hmm. But God, I wish I remember her name, because she was a sweetheart. She was so there is the worst lie I've ever told in my life, the worst acting I've ever done in my life. So I don't really need you to sweep up hair, but I have a goat in back. You want to milk the goat? Yes, I've done that before. I can do that.
I saw it on TV.
That probably raised an eyebrow.
Look on her face. There was no way she bought it. No. There was no way. Take a quick time out. Come back and have some fun with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on mornings at WFHR. I just want to celebrate another day I'm living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Welcome back, everybody. Time to do some celebrating with our great friends at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us. Buy local, support local, support our good friends at El Cafe. Got some great specials out there. Still want to try that Mexican French toast.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Fascinating.
It's like really a nice sweet, savory kind of... Mm-hmm. Take on good. French toast.
If you try it, go ahead and enjoy and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And love to hear from you about your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and email us, info@WFHR.com. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
That's right. That number is 715-424-2600, or just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app.
Looking forward to talking with you, everybody. Mm-hmm. Feel free to join us. We take a look at our list here. We've got three possible qualifiers. Seth, give me a 1 through 3.
Two.
All right. Got ourselves our qualifier. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Andy Thomas.
Happy birthday, Andy.
Happy birthday, Andy.
Enjoy the day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you. Have a great one, Andy. Mm-hmm. We also want to wish a happy birthday to Stella Farella.
Oh, I love that name. Happy birthday, Stella.
Happy birthday. I'm not going to do it. Stella. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do the Brando.
I probably heard it before.
I wanted to, and I didn't because it's her birthday.
You're right, Melissa. You're right. Yeah, she's probably heard it a jillion times than
she wants to.
I won't do it.
We need to bring that name back. It's such a great name, Stella. It's a great name.
My brother's girlfriend's cat's name is Stella.
Oh, I like that.
That's not bad.
It's a good cat name, too.
Is that how he calls for the cat? Stella? No, I'm just kidding.
I would. I might name
every
my cat.
Time.
Yeah, I might
your neighbors
my
would be, oh,
just to be able to do that. In fact, now I kind of want an animal, or actually just tell everybody I have an animal, but it's always lost. It's always lost. My dog is always lost. Stella! Happy birthday, Stella. Enjoy your day, and thank you for putting up with us.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Yes. And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Suzanne Wilson.
Oh, happy birthday, Suzanne.
Suzanne, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Enjoy the day. We wish you a great one, Suzanne. Mm-hmm. Enjoy. And thank you so much to everybody getting us these birthdays and anniversaries.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of the Leonard Cohen song, Suzanne. It's a great song.
That's a good one, too.
Yep.
Taking a look at who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with. Aaron Paul is 46. Jesse on Breaking Bad. Done a lot of voice work, too. And he had a great spot on the Westworld series as that was wrapping up. He was in the final two seasons of that. Very strong, good actor. Mm. Very strong. Good actor. One of those guys who the Breaking Bad thing is kind of put on a level where he's probably going to get work the rest of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be surprised.
Sarah Clark is 49. Dr. Elliot Reed on Scrubs. She was the second Becky on Roseanne for the 6th through 9th seasons.
Oh, really?
And then returned for the reboot and everything.
Very cool.
She's had a nice career.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Oh, Chandra Wilson is 56. Dr. Miranda Bailey on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, I like her a lot. Yeah.
Wait, what'd you say? Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. <It's> Oh, Greg, your anatomy. You think they'd be done by now with Greg's Anatomy after all these seasons. Gosh.
It was a horrible spinoff that they tried to do. Did not work well. Welcome to Greg's Anatomy. Okay. Turning and flip that show wasn't even greenlit for one episode.
No.
The Dog Whisperer, Cesar Millan is 56.
Wow.
Wow.
He is an interesting one. I watched a lot of his stuff back in the day when he was first on and everything, because the person I was with watched a lot of it, and that's how that works.
That's how it works.
And there were plenty of things I enjoyed about him, and then there were things I'm kind of like, I don't know. But definitely seems to know his stuff and has helped a lot of pet owners and pets throughout the years. Still doing his thing, I imagine. I think he's still out there.
You can hire him for $50,000 to $75,000.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the lower end is virtual.
If I pay that, my dog better learn to speak English.
Yeah, walk on its hind legs.
Yes.
Come on.
I'm not even exaggerating. Like, no. After Caesar's done, like, come here, boy. All right. So, what do you think of the option of who you think is going to make it in the playoffs this year in the NFL and everything? I want my dog to be able to have a conversation with me if I'm paying Caesar Beloff.
Have you guys seen the dogs and cats, I think, where they have those buttons and they can push the buttons to talk to you?
Yeah.
I think that would be cool. I might have to get that set up for Lilu.
Oh, I got it. Yes, you definitely do.
Okay, yeah.
I think Lilu would swear at me a lot.
It's just a swear button over
to it. Well, because right now we've progressed into just grunting at me. If I get too close, it's...
You've been warned.
Just wear them down. Just wear them down. You'll win them over. Alex Lifeson is 72 from Rush. What are the better parts of that band? Well, really,
there's only three parts of the band.
Yeah. I don't know what I was
to be fair.
One third of the good part of
there
that band.
Go, right.
What I was thinking in my head is whenever I think of Rush, I'm not a big Rush guy or anything, but all three of the members of that band are so respected in the music industry just a really good band.
You could be like Mike Nelson, who apparently is not a Rush fan, but he just watches Rush documentaries.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Very weird.
It's great. Let's see here. Tuesday Weld is 82.
Wow.
She a child actor who really actually survived being a child actor. Yep, I should say
she did.
Really. And her story and sharing of that story has been very integral for a lot of the child actors out there today.
That is correct. Of all the bad stuff that happened while she was a child actor. Yeah.
Wow.
And as far as people no longer with us, making sure to take care of this list. Here it is. Yeah, Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman would have been 73 today.
Aww.
We had a conversation about him the other day.
Yes, we did. About Pee Wee and the movie. Yeah, the anniversary of the Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Yeah.
Jeff Cook from Alabama, born on this day in 1949. Certainly note him and his great skills. And we do this every year on this one. Daryl Dragon, born on this day in 1942, the captain of Captain and Tennille.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
How do you not go by Dragon? That's your God-given name.
I know, and he goes with the captain just because he wore a captain's hat.
It feels like it was a prop he just picked up or
exactly.
something, too.
I'll be the captain, and you be your name. That's her name. Tony Tennille, that was her name.
Yeah, is it because of the genre, the yacht rock kind of thing? Is Dragon too aggressive for yacht rock? I don't know. I don't get it. But given that last name,
name is Daryl Dragon.
I wouldn't give for the last name Dragon.
Think of what you could do, man, with a band.
Yeah,
Daryl Dragon and the Fire Breathers. I mean, just think of that.
Welcome to the Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many different things you could do with that one. It wasted on you, Daryl.
He had a good career. You know, had some hits career, and stuff. Yes. But you know,
yeah.
But also his brother, Dennis Dragon, he actually looks more like a dragon than Daryl did, you know, with the curly blonde hair.
I see that the family went with the whole D thing, too. Yeah. Dennis and Daryl Dragon. Oh, boy.
We want more birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Be sure to get them to us however you need to, and we will celebrate with you more tomorrow. We encourage you today, though, to get on over to El Cafe. Enjoy some great food over there, great specials.
Check out their pie list. It's huge.
The wonderful atmosphere. Say hi to the gang over there for us at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. We'll take a break, come back, and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Drums, please.
Oh, yeah. It's time, everybody. We're back. Hope y'all are having a great one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. James, Seth, and Melissa here with you, bringing you another great segment of The Morning Show and an interesting one. So I bring up the volume and I bring up the energy. And now for something serious.
How's the ears and something interesting here to see?
I just really wanted to play Summertime. I just really wanted to play that song. These days, getting any job is a win. But imagine that three companies offered you three different salaries for basically the exact same job.
Ooh, okay.
And we have examples. They are A, $55,000, B, $74,000, and C,
$215,000. Whoa!
That's
a big difference.
I feel like we know which one you'd probably take.
Mm-hmm.
According to a report, the average American says the perfect salary is $74,000 a year.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice.
I'd like that, sure.
Can we do the mean or the median instead of the average? I think I'm closer to that. But anyway,
it's unclear why the perfect, quote, perfect amount isn't higher, especially with how expensive, things can be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible that they were just asked for the sweet spot where you'd be able to make ends meet comfortably.
Okay.
That said, 19% of people say that they need to make at least 100K, and about half of employed Americans say that they should be making more to support their lifestyle. 24% of people say that they are, quote, unhappy with their current salary.
Mm-hmm.
Only 24. That's actually a little low to me.
That is interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Huh. 69% of Americans are looking for ways to make extra money, and 32% of people are interested in starting a side hustle, and 29% of those in the survey already have a side hustle.
Okay.
This is, certainly going to change from household to household.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to note, I think. And it's going to change even more when you look at states and how much a cost of living is and some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the overall consistency of this is there, no matter where you are, age, state, whatever. We aren't paid enough. It does not match with the when cost of living goes up on a can of soda, on a can of soup, let alone with everything else it does, gas and insurance and childcare and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Yet pay stays the same,
right?
That does not take a Warren Buffett to be able to figure that out.
It's a pay cut.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. You are getting a pay cut because of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I bring this up from time to time, and I try not to push this in too much, but as we have some, quote, I guess that's their job title, representatives coming to the area pretty soon here and everything, these people are not going to talk to their constituents. They're talking to the people in their pocket.
Right.
But if they did talk to people, I'd love to be able to ask them, how are you living?
Yeah.
How comfortable are you living?
Yeah.
Name me one politician at any level that is living like we are. And I'm not talking about that's not fair. I'm not talking about our local representatives.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Some of that. That wasn't fair of me, and I want to make sure to correct that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our local representatives are working day jobs along with being politicians.
Yes.
That's a completely different story. I did that in my brain because I don't look at them as politicians. I look at
them. They're community members.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
That's right.
I bring him up as an example because I know what I'm talking about with Representative Krug, and he is a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
Along with being a politician,
right.
and there's certain days I bet Scott's more of a realtor,
right?
Because he's got to be, with that job,
right? So here, this is, I just looked this up, the pay for a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. So you take the $74,000 that you were talking about, add another $100,000 to that. $174,000 is how much a U.S. representative makes in a year.
Wow.
Yeah. How are they supposed to relate to us? How are they supposed to know what it's like to struggle to make ends meet? And on top of that, represent us. Fight for us.
Right.
Fight for what we're trying. You wonder why minimum wage has not changed in this state. You wonder why it's not just Wisconsin. It's plenty of other states, too, that have done this.
Mm-hmm.
But why it's gotten so out of hand. It would be laughable if we didn't have to live it, of how ridiculous this is. If this was a movie... Mm-hmm. It would be, that's going to happen in 2021, 2021, 25 or something like that. Way, way, way into the future. And we're already living it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And while this continues to happen, the only pushback I've seen is people leaving the workforce and trying to employ themselves, trying to make a living on their own. And with that, barely making ends meet, but at the very least, they're happier. And they're probably getting paid better self-employed than they are working a 40-hour-a-week job.
Yeah. Because there are some things that you don't have to do then. You don't have to commute. You don't have to dress for the office. You don't have to bring a lunch or pay for food with you when you're out and about. And, I mean, there are a lot of factors that play into that as well that brings in savings.
Right. But real quick, I also want to say you're right about that. But there's also a lot of scam artists out there that will prey on people who want that, what we're talking about, self-employed, multi-level marketing groups, which are everywhere now and are basically a... They're a pyramid scheme, people. Yes, they are a pyramid scheme.
To every politician that says that has an argument to fight me on minimum wage or these kind of things or cost of living, some of that, I ask them, you do it. You do it. Yeah. I don't think that they're from your local representatives straight up to the president, they should be making minimum wage. There's no. I don't understand why they're not. It's ridiculous in my realistic brain. I cannot understand why they are paid so much. If your argument is, well, then who's going to want to do those jobs if they're paid minimum wage? Let me introduce you to the workforce. Let me introduce you to
everyone else.
Take a look at this blue collar I've got on right now. Go ahead and take a look at that. Or go ahead and try. Maybe doing that, maybe they might actually represent us better. Maybe they might know what it's like to live our life a little bit more, because I see these politicians, again, from the president on down, I see no suffering. I see no struggle. Nope. I see, not just in life, but in anything. These people, most of these people have been handed this, born with a whole set of silver spoons in their mouths. How can they relate to us? How can they truly represent us if they don't know what it's like to get dirt under their nails, to actually have to struggle, to know what it's like to, you know what, my dad's gone out of the house. It's my mom, my sister, and I, and I got a little brother here. So at 10, 11 years old, I'm going off trying to milk goats to make a couple bucks. Like, tell me one politician that's done that kind of thing. I'm not talking about those little examples that they bring up when they're trying to, you know, in their commercials. And I know what it's like to be you. I grew up on a farm and all these different things. Look, what you did as a kid and what you've done as an adult are two very different things.
Right.
None of us are what we were when we were young.
Help to build out our lives and give us lived experience.
But they've shown how that they've forgotten what that is.
Yeah.
The Van Ortons, the Tiffanys, these people, and I am going to call them out on their name because they're cowards. And I don't say that lightly. I've done my homework on this one. I'm not somebody that throws these words around. I mean when I say that, and I know I've done the homework on it, and you are a coward if you're not representing your community, and you won't face your community.
And we've only touched on wages. What about health care? They got pretty great health care.
They do. Some of the best in the country.
Yeah. I think they should have the health care that the rest of us have.
And have to pay for it.
They
don't have to pay for it either.
Because guess what? Yeah. We have good, pretty decent health care. But I still have a pretty big bill that I got to pay off, that I got to decide. Okay, do I go to this appointment that's going to cost me more money? Or do I try to save up for the new bed that I need? Because I still haven't bought a mattress. Guys, I'm still sleeping on the mattress that I sawed in half with a bread knife.
I'm so sorry.
So, let's put that out there.
Mental image of Melissa doing that. I said, whoa, hey.
It was pretty funny.
It would be a good segment.
We'll put a note in that one. I am in desperate need of dental care. I have good dental insurance. I still can't do it.
Because it still costs money. With the insurance, you still have a deductible that you have to pay.
Yep. I want them to know what that's like. If you want my vote, if you want me to actually go out and vote for you or fight for you, I want you to fight for me. Yes. I want you to fight for me, and I want you to prove that you are. I am so sick and tired of these people getting away with this hustle. Man, I come from the other side of the tracks. You think I don't know a hustle when I see one?
Right.
That's what majority of the politicians, especially in this state, are doing. It is a hustle. They are hustling you. They pitch this idea to you that this is who they are and this is what they're going to represent, and they're going to fight for you. And then as soon as you elect them, what do? They just answer to the people in their pocket. They won't even face their constituents. And they use these excuses like, oh, people are unruly or whatever. I thought you were a tough guy. I thought you could handle this job. If you can't handle this job, then get out of there and let somebody else do it that can actually face their constituents and would do it for minimum wage. Because that's where you show what you really care about. Mm-hmm. What I was talking about before, about that work ethic and that hustle and everything, the willingness, because you have to. There is no other option. If you don't, you're homeless, or your family ain't getting paid or anything, or getting fed or anything like that. Know what that's like. I want my politician like that.
And remembers it after they've been elected, and that's another issue that we sometimes see. So,
way too many of these people doing these jobs, living comfortably, which I have nothing against. You make a good living, you worked hard for that money, more power to you. Enjoy your life. I'm talking about people that did not work for it,
right?
And that is darn near a way too high of a portion of our politicians in this state, along with people in higher positions that are earning, while they continue to get bonuses, their people see no, they get that where they give, here's a watch for Christmas. Now, you know, here's something like that for Christmas. That'll shut them up. Here, we'll give them a little tiny bonus or something. That'll shut them up. Instead of something that they can actually build on.
Like a substantial,
And keep in mind, everybody, that whether this is every business or every politician or not, there is a majority of them where this is about keeping us where we are. Keeping us in our place. I was about to say the middle class, but that doesn't even exist anymore.
It's gotten a lot smaller, for sure.
It's about keeping us in line and them keeping their power. Because, God, do you notice how scared they are of losing that power? And you know who I'm talking about when I say that. There is a desperation there that is so clear. And a lot of it has to do with what they're paying us and the fact that they're not taking care of our healthcare or our childcare industry or some of these things.
Or the infrastructure in our country.
They put a little, I'm not even a Band-Aid, they put on one of those little thumb Band-Aids. You know, those little,
the ones that don't stick very well and fall off after 10 minutes.
Yeah. Who uses those? How did they sell that? Like, it feels like the Band-Aid industry is very good. It does a great job and everything. I'm using one right now. It feels like it sometimes, if you're in the meeting, you're like, okay, we got to come up with new Band-Aids, or everybody, we got to come up with new ones. I don't know. We'll put cartoon character eyes on them. Oh, great, great. We should have skin tone ones. Oh, really good. How about a tiny one? Because it was the guy in back who didn't have an idea, and he had to have an idea.
How about a really, really little one for those paper cuts?
You know? Right. Sure, throw it in there. Like,
and then you get to the end of the box. And you've used all the good Band-Aids, and all you have left are those little tiny, and they're like, what, an inch long, and the actual pad of the Band-Aid is maybe a quarter inch, and you're like, okay, I've got this 6-inch long cut. What am I going to, all right, 27 little Band-Aids.
Yeah. I don't know any Smurfs. who else could use this? Babies can't even use this.
I mean, they do fit around a 5 or 6-year-old child's finger pretty well.
Yeah.
And if they stick to themselves, they stay on decent for an hour.
Right.
We will take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to get into these things that Americans cannot stop buying, apparently, which is just another tie into all these stories here. On the Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show at WFHR. Hope you all are having a great Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody. Melissa, Seth, James, hanging out with you. We're going to get into a bunch of fun in the 10 o'clock hour. We got some entertainment news for you lined up. We're also going to dive into a couple of other ones. We have the top 4 2025 trends that are already in decline.
Already.
So I'm probably doing at least one of them. I'm probably doing at least one of them.
Yeah, I usually only jump on at the end or after it's over.
It's always how it goes for me. Yep. If you've bought a dud Powerball ticket, 38 drawings in a row, the 39th time, is that going to be the charm? Is that it? Is that what you're telling yourself? Google looked at the top trending, quote, how to stop buying blank searches we've been Googling this year. And unless you're a kid, number one on the list is one of the nerdier addictions you can have. Now, before we dive into these, though, I've asked a lot of questions to our search engines, most of them in incognito mode. I love it. I will not lie. I like search engine. I like the idea of a search engine, I should say. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of, as somebody who loves to learn and loves information, loves the answers
that we have
things,
it at our fingertips.
Yes. Do I like Googler or half of these search engines? No, for various reasons that we've covered plenty of times. Mm-hmm. But of all the, as an overthinker, of all the questions I've asked, I've never thought about asking a computer how to stop doing something necessarily. Like, not even when I was quitting smoking. I didn't even think about it then. I don't know why, but my brain didn't really think of that. So that question alone just seemed wild to me, let alone what it's about with stopping yourself from buying something. They're not talking about necessarily alcohol,
like what can
nicotine.
I replace something with? Okay, yeah, that seems like a more, like I do substitution stuff all the time. Well, I don't have this type of whatever ingredient. What can I replace it with?
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So here are the five things Americans just can't stop buying. Quote, how to stop buying Pokemon cards. It's become a real problem with full-grown adults fighting each other for boxes of them at Walmart and Costco.
What?
Jeez.
One woman recently turned to Reddit for advice after her husband racked up over $100,000 in debt.
What?
To buy Pokemon cards?
Okay, that's just like an addiction.
Wow, that is
issue.
An addiction. Yes, that is very much an addiction.
You could insert anything, and it would be would do that. They'd spend that money.
Spent $100,000 on something. Yeah. Good grief.
100%. I will say. So this, I know my dad is the one that turned me on to this and told me about it when I was right around the pandemic. During the pandemic and right after. There's not a lot of places to get baseball, football cards, or anything. Mm-hmm. Walmart's one of the few places.
Target, Fielder. Yeah.
My dad is usually up really early in the morning, and my mom and him will run errands. Mm. So 6-7 in the morning or something like that, they'll be out doing that. So he's there pretty early.
Yeah.
And if he gets there early enough, he can get some of those cards. But there are plenty of times where, like, by 6:30, 7 o'clock, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
People just come in there and buy them all up, and then they'll sell them on eBay and all this and everything.
It's a thing. Yeah.
So you got people like my dad and other card collectors out there
who actually just want to collect.
Just doing it for fun. Yeah. My dad looks up the prices, but it's more so just to get to brag to us or anything. Look what I got, whatever.
This one's worth $15.
It's fun. It's nostalgic for him and everything, but you have that going on with that industry, let alone,
weird.
I imagine with the Pokemon industry, might even be worse because you're involving more and more younger people, too. How to stop buying water bottles. It seems like everyone has 10 of them now. You'd think one water bottle would be enough, just one.
What?
This is a... serious issue in my family.
Well,
serious issue in my family.
I can see that when you have kids that water bottles.
Oh, it's not
get
the kids.
Okay. Well, from other lived experience, I can see where this would happen, where you have multiples because it gets left somewhere and you need a replacement.
Especially with kids. That's true.
Right. Until you go back to that location and you can get it back, if that's possible. I have one.
Yes, you do. We've seen it for a long time.
And I carry it everywhere.
You do.
I have
kept it for many years. That's impressive. Actually, you haven't left it somewhere. Yeah,
I have.
I have left it places, but I get it back.
Turn it back up again.
I have one here. I have one at the theater, and I have one at home.
There you go.
Yeah,
perfect.
But that's it. That's it.
I just carry my one with me everywhere. Yes.
I would have only one, but I've been given like water
multiples.
Bottles, so I don't want to use them. So yeah, I did.
Right.
See, and I only have one because then I only have one to clean.
Nice.
See, that's that makes sense too, right? Yeah.
I just have to remember to clean it often enough.
How to stop buying clothes. If you can't find room in your closet or dresser, you probably have enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister. Shoes. Oh, she's horrible. She's horrible about that. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to tell her you said that.
Well, she knows. She's well aware of her addiction.
How to stop buying books.
That one I'm pushing back against. Nope. Nope, nope, nope. Buy all the books. Keep buying them.
She is full into her addiction. She doesn't care.
Well, I don't necessarily buy them myself, but I want to encourage everybody else to.
Right.
Just keep doing it.
Now,
you can never have enough books.
Feed it.
Here is one that they got clothes, they got fast fashion on this list, so trends, jumping on those and buying them up and everything. I don't disagree with any of these. This one, I'm so with you, Melissa. I kind of encourage this, especially if you're buying used books, like from bookstores and everything, and you're helping keep a used bookstore around. Mm-hmm. We need more of those. I'm doing a horrible job with this, so it's and everything, but I can't help it.
You need to do is make more space on your shelves by taking your used books to to the Moravian Church for the book sale through September 15th.
At the book sale in October, you can buy more books to put on the
fill up your shelf again. And it all goes to a good cause.
There you go.
Just like we planned it.
Mid-state scholarships.
That's right.
Yeah, help out with those, everybody. Mm-hmm. And be sure to bring those gently used books over to the book bin. You guys still got that out, don't you?
We do, till the 15th of September. It's running low. The time is running low, though, so make sure you get them over there. Mm-hmm.
You can find it right over at the Wisconsin Rapids and Moravian Church.
310 First Avenue South.
Head on over there, everybody.
That was unplanned, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was. It was very unplanned.
Was that the last on the list?
Well, the how to stop buying fast fashion. Basically, like when trends start, you're jumping on them and buying them
up
and everything.
That's a horrible, wasteful. It is awful.
Yes, the fast fashion industry is such a toll it's on terrible. Our environment.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't even bother. I just keep doing my thing that I've been doing since
all you need to
16,
do, man.
Probably 16. Yeah,
wear the clothes you have.
May have too many t-shirts.
Yeah,
may have too many t-shirts.
Yes, though. Yes, way too many. Yes, we will take a quick time out and come back with more show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and all.